All right, welcome back, everybody. Amazing story. And I'm sure you have heard and received some amazing things from God. All right, let's start with Emily tonight.
Hello.
Hello.
There were three things that stuck out in the verses to me. The first was the part where they were talking about, where Jesus is saying there's nobody good but God. The second part was when Jesus tells him, you lack one thing. For some reason, that stuck out to me. And then at the end of the verses, the phrase, for he had great possessions, stuck out to me as well. So I asked about all three of those. And when I asked first about there not being anybody good but God, I wanted to understand what that meant. And I saw myself and Jesus, and Jesus was holding this, it looked like a white silk robe, only it was made out of stars, and he wrapped it around me, and he was just kind of telling me, like, that it represented God's goodness, and that everything good in the world comes from God, and it's not that you can't be good, but you have to recognize that that goodness comes from God. And then I asked about the phrase, there was one thing that he lacked, and immediately the word charity stuck out to me, and I didn't want to assume that I knew what that meant, so I asked God, what does charity mean? And then I saw myself wearing the robe of stars, and then I took it off, and I took it over, there was a homeless person on the street, and I wrapped the homeless person in that robe instead of me wearing it, and I was just like filled with this sense of, I don't know, happiness, contentment, pride almost. And then I immediately remembered, for he had great possessions, that phrase, possessions. And then I was kind of seeing myself in this whole scene with Jesus and the homeless person in the robe. And then Jesus just said to me, there is no greater possession than God's goodness. And so I just kind of understood that it wasn't necessarily like in the story, the guy was sad that he was going to have to sell all of his possessions, but like no matter what physical thing he might have lost, he would always have the greatest possession of all. And so that was kind of what I got.
All right. Yeah, I like that. See, yeah, no, all goodness comes from God. You nailed that part. You received it exactly, you know, and we can be good, but we have to receive it from God. And I think also this last thing about the possessions, I think that this man, rather than being open to receive the possession of goodness from God, he is possessing his own stuff. You know, he's possessing it. So this, that robe was quite an amazing thing you saw. I believe this is all of the heavens, all of God's goodness poured out. And that's what he did. He poured it out onto us. And that's what we walk around with. We can walk around with that every day. God's goodness just all over us. And when we have that understanding, we can share that with other people and bring them into that understanding as well. And that's a real blessing.
Emily, I really love your robe.
It's a great robe.
I think it's very fancy.
We should market it.
I would love that. It's the robe of God. It's wonderful. When you were sharing, I just felt how awesome it is. And, you know, I felt that it's the love of God that envelops us. And God also said that that's true. Nobody is good but God. And through Jesus, we have God on the inside right now. So we are good. You know, and I was so grateful to God for what he's done and gave us this good that we can actually have on the inside of us so we become perfect. So thank you for sharing. It's so beautiful. I think I want to share because I'm already forgetting mine. I asked about the man who had lots of possessions. And what stood out to me is the language that Jesus looked at him, loved him, and then said, what he said, that sell everything and follow me. And I asked God, what did it represent? And God said, it's not that Jesus did not talk in generalities that everybody needs to give away or sell everything they have. He looked at this particular man and he loved this particular man, meaning he saw into his spirit and he saw what this man was lacking, this particular man. And he saw that there was more love of self than love for God. Mm-hmm. And that is the saddest thing because, you know, this man wanted to be good, right? He wanted to follow the laws. And he said, oh, yeah, I followed all these things from my childhood, right? But he did it for his own gain. And same thing related to all the possessions. He did it for the gain. But his values were misrepresented. His love was in the wrong place. So that's what Jesus was trying to help. And that's what it said when he said he loved them. He was weighing the love, right? Where was it? Where did it belong? And that's why Jesus wanted to help them to say, hey, shift your love so you can do what you want to do. You want the eternal life, but your love is in the things that are temporary. So I really love that this few words just stood out to me. And, you know, I heard this story many times, but it never kind of jumped at me that Jesus looked at him and he loved him.
Yeah.
And then what stood out to me was also that this little children, Jesus told them to come. And what did he do? He blessed them. And I think, you know, I asked God about it, and God reminded me that God wants to bless every child he has, and he blessed Adam first, and that's the same blessing that is on Adam and Abraham, and that is the blessing that Jesus gave to every child. So we are children. We're not grown up. We are under the blessing. So I really loved it, and, you know, it's just the beautiful thing how much love God has for us.
Yeah, I think an important point when you were speaking about also is that when we don't love God, like if we have love for something else, we can't receive
eternal life.
We can't receive the blessing that He's pouring out. We can't receive this wonderful robe that Emily saw.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't come to us because we are closed to that. So it's like, He's already given it, but we've got to be open to loving Him so that we can receive it. Very powerful. I liked your experience a lot, too. It's a great story. Wow.
Amazing story.
Oh.
And because this story, you know, so many people heard about it, right? And, you know, so many religious institutions are talking about it. And so many times it was misrepresented, right, and misinterpreted. And that is why it's so important to have conversations with God, like you guys are having, like we are having. When we have conversations with God, He reveals things to us, okay? We don't need to take somebody else's opinion and think that it's true. You know, God is a revealer of mysteries, and I really love how He reveals things to us. So,
yeah. You know, the thing I always love about Bible study also is that in listening to other people's experiences, we can get more enlightenment. So I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing and taking it in, you know, because it can really help to kind of answer questions for you when you're listening to the stuff that God is saying to people. And it might be very similar. Many times it is very similar to what other people have heard. All right, let's go to Jean. How's Jean doing?
Hey.
Hi, Jean.
I also, when he said you lack one thing, that was what I was curious about. And I saw a lot of images, but I couldn't remember them, and some of them I just couldn't catch. The only thing that I remember is a lady carrying a jug of water.
Mm. How was she carrying the jug of water? Did you remember where was she holding it?
She was holding it. She didn't have it on her head. She
okay.
was holding it.
Okay. Yeah. So I think this is first of all, a woman in the spiritual represents love, and water represents truth. And I think this is a love for truth, which is something we've got to have, because if we don't have a love for truth, then we don't seek out the things of God. We're very content to kind of stay in our own little world of what we learned or how we cope. But we've got to have a love for truth, because that's, remember, they said the truth will set you free. That's what will unlock your true potential and give you the opportunity to have a really incredible life. And I think that's, this one image says that to me, that this is a love for truth. And that's a great thing to have. You know, if you got that, I think you can make it. You know, you can overcome all things with God if you have that love for truth, because he can continually pour out stuff to you for eternity. And that's what the man was asking. He was asking how he could have eternal life.
But he didn't want to hear
it. Right, but he didn't want to hear the
so
real reason.
He didn't have the love.
Because he didn't have a love for truth. He wasn't willing to be open to actually do what was required to, you know, have eternal life.
Yeah, he could have asked more questions.
Yes,
know,
yes.
To gain
clarify.
Understanding. Yeah.
Sure. Good stuff. Thank you, Jean. Simple but very powerful image. That's a very powerful image. Yeah. Thank you. How about Chris? Chris? Might have, is she on mute?
It wouldn't surprise me if she fell asleep. Fell asleep. I talked to her earlier.
Might have fell
really
asleep.
Tired.
I'm glad she was on, even if she's sleeping. I say to your spirit right now, Chris, that you're receiving all this information. It's going in. It's going into your spirit. You're going to remember it when you wake up. You're going to think, oh, how do I know all this stuff? You're going to know that God gave you this information.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's go to Janice.
Hello.
Hey, Janice.
I asked God about the sell all your possessions, and at first I asked him what does it mean by sell all? And the first vision that I got was this man handing a homeless man a dollar bill, and then another man who had more than the first man came up and handed the other guy $1,000 bill. And then, but it didn't feel, it felt like he was just going through the motion. And then the second image was this, it was a boy, and he had a wheelbarrow, and he had a few coins inside the wheelbarrow, and he was handing them out to people, but he was like skipping along as he's doing it, and he was handing it out to people, and then as he was doing that, his wheelbarrow kept filling up and kept filling up and kept filling up. And it was more of the spirit of giving than giving of itself. And so when I asked God what does it mean by give all? And he said, you're far more than your possessions. But what is a lot, or what is a little to you may be a lot to someone else. So if you give with an open spirit and an open heart, they get much more than you think you're giving.
Great, Janice.
That's
yeah,
it.
That's powerful. That is a spiritual principle they're talking about right there. It's talking about, you know, the principle of also, you have, like you said, you have to have an open heart. You have to want to be a blessing. That's how God blesses us. And that's why we always talk about tithing. And here in this first example, there was a thousandfold increase that was received. You know, a thousandfold increase, a dollar for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spiritual principle that's working in God's kingdom all the time. But if we can, and we have to have that open heart that wants to do good, that wants to be a blessing, because this is the way that God can bring the increase into our life. It's a great spiritual principle that we need to apply all the time. And as you were saying, it can be all kinds of things that we can be giving, because we can make a huge difference in the lives of those people around us.
Janice, what do you think the homeless man would represent in the spiritual sense? Or Emily?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm asking because you and Emily saw homeless men. Okay, Emily, would you know what the homeless man would be spiritually, in the spiritual sense?
I would say it was somebody that was spiritually lost.
Yeah.
I would say something similar, somebody outside, like, who isn't brought into the church.
Yay! Yeah. You guys are awesome. So see, it's very important to look also, you know, on the at the spiritual sense of things. So the homeless man will be a man without God, not filled with the Spirit. And you guys, you know, and what the money usually represents in the spiritual sense, it's the wealth of knowledge. That's what was given in your vision, Janice. A man was giving a wealth of knowledge to a person outside the church so they could know God. And in Emily's experience, the whole universe, okay, the whole presence of God was given to the man outside of the church so he can be with God. So that is very interesting, you know, for you guys to have this point of reference and understanding that it's not just the homeless man in the physical sense. And we're not talking about the possessions in the physical life. Both, you know, physical and non-physical, but it's interesting how things relate.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Also, you know, you have to remember these two stories that we read, or these two incidents that we read tonight, they fit together, you know, because here, I think the child, when we go back to the child, it's about being able to be receptive to what God is giving. And I think our opportunity is to bring people into the kingdom of God, you know, the ones that are open and willing and have that thirst for truth. That's something we need to be a blessing with and share that with them so they can come into that kingdom. They don't have to be homeless. They can have a home with God.
Amen.
God said, what did Jesus say? That my house has many mansions.
Amen.
So,
come unto me, he said, my children.
Come unto me, that's right. All right, good job. Like it, Janice, a lot. Okay, let's go to Mark. Mark, don't forget to come off of mute. There you go.
I put you on and off mute. Are you there now?
I'm here. I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was, the first, I asked the question of, what was the meaning of, giving up all your possessions? The kid was, very wealthy. And what was the deeper spiritual meaning of that? And basically what I saw immediately was Adam and Eve, biting, out of the forbidden fruit, if you want to call that. And then it was like generations of people, just went by, which I sensed that, they were offsprings of Adam and Eve, And then all of a sudden, there were two siblings, both with like big pots of gold, like five equal amounts of gold. And the one went into, politics or whatever, and he came out and basically had no pots of money. And the other one walked into a big cathedral, and he walked out with tons of, pots of gold. And then it turned into a white light just a white light. And basically what came out of it was those who, follow my path are the ones that benefit the most on earth and have no expectations of, material wealth holding them back. So that was the gist of it.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Wow, Mark, it was incredible. Your vision was incredible, and it corresponds to what I received. See, when Adam and Eve bit from the forbidden fruit, they got to know self-love. See, they traded the love for God for the self-love. And that's what I received. This man, you know, who Jesus was talking to, his love was for self and his own personal gain. So that happened with Adam and Eve first. You're so right. And then generations after generations, you know, had to experience this until, you know, the coming of Jesus and his resurrection and him taking away this sin, okay, and giving the perfect love to us. And that's what I believe you saw at the end, you know, people who went into the church and got so much, you know, that this gold was the goodness of God. And I just, your experience was so deep and incredible. Thank you so much. You just, you know, connected all the dots. Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Multiple levels of stuff going on there. You know, and we can also equate back to, remember, the Garden of Eden was a representation of heaven upon earth. So I go back to Emily's cloak, you know, of this celestial cloak, this which is what we receive when we invite Jesus into our heart. And that's what they had at that point. They had the glory of God, which was glowing off of them. That's what they were wearing. Because remember, after they bit into that fruit, it says that they realized they were naked. Well, why didn't they notice it before? Yeah. Because they were clothed in a garment like Emily saw, you know, of stars, you know, of this beautiful place. And that's the glory of God. The spirit, very spirit of God was with them. And because their love was for him, he could be upon them. And then when they bit into that fruit, like Liza said, they had a love for self now. They could no longer wear the garment. They lost that beautiful glowing garment, and they were naked. You know, they're like a homeless guy now.
Yes.
Without a home.
They became homeless. Yes.
And they were out of the Garden of Eden because they're homeless now. They're without the love for God. And of course, come full circle. When those guys went back into the church that you saw, they come out with even more riches, because that is the riches of the kingdom of God, and it reflects also in the physical. So when you have the riches on the spiritual, it also happens in the physical. We see this in the lives of many of the people in the Bible. They were not poor people, they were extremely rich. Abraham was rich. Isaac was the richest man in the world. You know, it talks about Job being the richest man. All these people it talks about in the Bible. Why were they like that? Because they had the riches of heaven, that they had that heavenly cloak, but that heavenly cloak has the ability to bring physical prosperity on all levels and incredibleness. And that was an amazing vision. Thank you, Mark. Really great. All right, let's go to... There was, I think there was a caller that joined late. Did somebody come on the call late? We didn't say hi to him?
Yeah, Michael Rosling.
No, I remember you guys joining, but I thought I heard the phone ring one more time. Was there someone else? Maybe that was Chris we lost.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Bob. Yes, Bob. Did you have an experience, Bob?
Yes. I did. I saw this fancy ornate room with these people. They were the women were wearing these high wigs, and it looked like it was in the late 1700s. And, you know, they were kind of dressed in it's from the colonial era, except I couldn't tell if it was America or Europe. The women were wearing these wigs and had these fancy, you know, white kind of pancake makeup on and with the booty mark and everything. And then they were disturbed from their party by this group of motorcycle guys on these black motorcycles. They were all dressed in black, and the people at the party just looked horrified, and these, you know, bikers just kind of looked at them like they were weird, and then they looked back at the bikers like they were weird. And so after that, they just resumed with their party. Mm-hmm.
What did you ask, Bob? What was your question?
I asked what the deeper spiritual meaning was, but I didn't hear the whole second time of the story. I didn't get in until the end of the story was being read. And it was something about a child, but I didn't see anything.
Okay, that's fine. Whatever you got. Okay, so there sounds like there's good and evil in there, and obviously from what you've been listening to by now, you should already know. I'm going to go with the people that love God, because that's where, you know, the peace and calm comes from. That's where the goodness happens. That's where the miracles take place. All right, good job. Thank you, Bob. Let's go to Michael and Rosalie. It's amazing Bible study, by the way. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Michael. Yes, go ahead.
At first I asked God, I kind of focused on something about the richness, why he left his, God asked him to leave his possessions, and then I asked for the overall spiritual meaning, and at first my mind was seeing images of people fighting and debating about each other, about the, what do you call it? During the revolution, these soldiers that won the war and stuff like that, like General Lee and all these guys, now they want to tear them down. So you got one side says, oh, we've got to keep them there, so he's going to tear them down. So I'm just seeing a bunch of images of that. And then after that settled down, then I finally heard some voice saying to me that you have to, was asking that, don't let your possessions define you. That's why he asked him to let go of his possessions, because he was being defined by them. I understood what God was saying to me about that. But that's what I was. That was at the very end when I then the message came kind of very clear.
Yeah,
that's what I had.
Interesting. Yeah, if as Liza was saying, if he was in love with these possessions more than God, it would define him. It would change basically who he is and how he's looking at the world and how he lives in the world. And as we go back to the experiences that Emily and Janice saw where the homeless was being given something, if they were in love with their possessions, they don't like to give it away. They keep it for themselves because this defines them. It gives them a certain status and whatever. But I think it's interesting about the statues that you were talking about. And yeah, there is some stuff going on in the physical with that, of course. So some of you might have heard about it. But I think also in the spiritual, there's something being said here as well to Michael about the images that we're looking at and remembering to keep focused on God. And sometimes there are things that remind us of God, which is good to keep in front of our face. And sometimes the stuff that's the distraction. So I think, again, it's kind of keeping our focus on the right things so that we can be in alignment with that love for God. So that was good. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Great. Thank you.
How about Rosalie?
Hi.
Hello.
So I saw myself in a small, tiny home. And I was going up to the stairs, and God was holding a lamp, and on, and he was helping me to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reached, the land, or I was somewhere. And then I was looking up at the sky. The sky was very bright, and God was pushing me to the sky so that I can reach the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking at a bird with huge wings, and he was flying. So I was looking at him, and then I heard, "You can fly too."
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, that sums up everything we've been talking about. Because here, what Rosie was saying is that she was in a house, and she's going upstairs, and God is leading her with a lantern. So the light, meaning again, the light represents the truth. So again, the truth is leading her up the stairs. Up the stairs, meaning we're ascending, we're climbing higher spiritually, we're growing spiritually, we're moving towards God, we're moving towards the heavens. And then God, of course, starts to push her now up into the sky. He's pushing her up towards heaven. And remember, that's where we were originally when we were cloaked with this glory, with this beautiful robe, you know, celestial robe. We were, you know, heavenly beings. And now God is pushing her up again. And now she sees this bird. In other words, remember, a bird in the general sense represents thoughts. And I think these thoughts are talking about, you know, heavenly thoughts. Thoughts of heaven, of God, of goodness, of doing good, of being a blessing, of who you really are. It's like getting the understanding into you again of who you are. And once we receive that understanding, what happens? Rosalie hears the message, God saying, "You can fly too." Which is true. Because when we receive that understanding of who we are, we now get robed in that beautiful, glorious, celestial robe. In other words, the glory of the Spirit of God is back upon us again. And now we're flying. We can fly spiritually. We're moving so high. We can connect to the heavens. We can connect to God. And there's nothing that can separate us. And that's a beautiful, beautiful experience. And it ties in totally to what Mark had seen, and what even what Jean had seen, and Emily, and Janice, and maybe Chris, we don't know. But and Blythe, of course. So a beautiful, beautiful experience. Thank you, guys. Now, I'll share my experience now. In mine, I looked at this man, and what God was saying, let me recall this, hold on a second. Oh, he first said, the words came to me, "He's a brown noser. He's a teacher's pet." And I was like, what? And this is the character of trying to please somebody by doing it yourself. And God was saying that he was trying to do this himself. And then I said, what is this about giving the possessions? And he said, he needs to give me his heart. And that's what I heard. It's not about giving up the possessions. It was about giving your heart to God. And that when he gave that, rather than trying to do it on his own, that I fulfilled all these laws since I was a kid. It's about trusting God, giving him your heart, and knowing that he's going to lift you up. Kind of like what Rosalie saw herself being lifted up. That God will lift us up. That's how we're going to get eternal life. Not through the work that we're doing, but through trusting God and God's goodness. It's not about trying to fulfill all these laws or, you know, all those things. It's about giving God our heart and saying, God, I trust you, I love you, and he can then lift us up when that happens. And that was my experience. All right. Now, amazing, amazing guidance we all received tonight. As always, we want Bible study to be something practical, not just about acquiring knowledge, but actually putting into action. So start thinking about what is something that I could apply in a practical sense, an action that I could take, or something that I could do based on what I'm hearing tonight, and it might have been on what you heard from God, or maybe what you heard as we were sharing, maybe a thought came to you and you realized, wow, that would be a great thing to do. Anybody have a something practical that they would do to apply in their life?
I do.
Yes.
Emily.
Emily.
Just going off of what my vision was, I could be more charitable with my knowledge and the wisdom that God has given me already, like sharing that with other people.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Praise God. That's wonderful.
And I think that's great, and I think that kind of summarizes what the point that Liza was getting at when she said both you and Janice saw homeless people, but it's about not just about giving them, you know, physical things, but they really, those homeless people can sometimes be people that are outside of the knowledge of God, the church, and sometimes they just need to know what the Spirit of God feels like. They may even go to church, but they need to feel the real, true blessing and Spirit of Him. That's a great thing. I love that. That's a good thing for all of us, for sure. Absolutely. Anybody else? Just give one more chance. Anybody else have a thought on what they would do to apply this practically? In the practical sense? Okay, that was a good one. We can all do that one. All right. Now that we are filled with the Spirit, I feel the Spirit moving very strongly tonight. I think this opened a window or a door to heaven in a very powerful way, that the Spirit is moving very strongly. Now, what do we need to pray for?
Let me say something.
Yeah.
Guys, close your eyes. Open your heart. See God, Lord Jesus, in front of you. And say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my love. When you do that, feel this feeling of glorious love starting to come upon you. And see this beautiful cave of glory from Emily's vision is wrapped around you now. See, God is wrapping around this beautiful cave of glory with the stars all around you. And see this and feel the heavenly presence inside you, all around you. And I proclaim the Spirit of peace, great love, abundance, new life, and resurrection upon your life. God is proclaiming you to be His disciples now. You received His glory, you received His truth, you received His love. You have the riches of heavenly kingdom. Now, you have so much that you can give. Now, open your heart and start giving it to the people that are coming to you now, sharing the love and giving them your cape of glory. And more you give, this cape never leaves your shoulders. It will always be on you. It has the multiplication in it. Multiplication law is in it. So when you give one, 10 times more is given to you, the law of increase, giving your heart to God, giving your heart to His children, you receive 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more. And I proclaim blessing over you, just like in this story, Jesus blessed His children. I bless you, and I say that God loves you and He will. And Lord, today I pray that everybody who's under the sound of my voice are stepping into the era of increase in their life, meaning increase on all levels, spiritual, physical, and financial. Right now, Lord, I proclaim healing, physical, bodies. Whoever needs healing and under the sound of my voice, you are healed from the top of your head down to the tips of your toes. Whoever needs physical, emotional release. Right now, God is taking the pain out of your heart. Whoever needs to give forgiveness and receive forgiveness, right now it's happening. You are free. And right now, I speak the words of increase over your life. Give your love to God, and your heart is filled with goodness. And now you're stepping into the season of abundance.
So you can give more and you can receive more. You are blessed and highly favored in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.